Zani, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Are you prepared to roll the dice with this pitching staff next year?
No.
Okay.
No. The reason I say that is because even the guys that have been hurt, who could potentially be ready to pitch next year, that they are what they are, guys that get hurt all the time. Dre Becks had two Tommy Johns. Hutchison needs probably about 200 more innings in the minor leagues before I would call him ready. And I mean just physically ready to play in the big leagues. You know, Morrow is, in my opinion, is probably always going to be hurt. Just doesn't seem like he is going to, you know, last. I just don't think he has the stamina. He might be better suited for going back to the bullpen and you know, being a closer. You know, Ricky Romero, who knows whether we'll see him again.
Right.
You know, so it's an interesting conversation. There was a time, you know, in the last month or so where I was counting Jose as one of the guys who I would keep. But then, you know, like you said, it is frustrating to watch sometimes because I was hoping that he would assume more of a leadership role on the ball club. And I mean, not just on the field, but, you know, in the clubhouse. He's a very intelligent, classy guy. And his displays on the field, they're just getting old, in my opinion. And you don't take him seriously anymore because they happen so often. Brady Anderson gave me a bit of advice when I was a young player. He said, make your snaps count. And I didn't understand what he meant. He said, if you're going around snapping all the time and you're you know, arguing calls all the time and tearing stuff up in the tunnel in the clubhouse, people start ignoring you. They don't hold any value or weight to your opinion and what you're doing. And so, you know, you look at the pitches that he's getting called, that are getting called strikes on him, and you go back and you look at some of the film. And, you know, while I believe that he shouldn't have to swing at some of those pitches because of who he is, that seems to be just the way things are going to be for a while. He's not getting anywhere by bitching about calls, so why not try not bitching? And why not try not demonstrating out on the field and embarrassing the umpires? And I love Jose to death, and I want him to be more than just a great player on the field. I want him to be the guy that everybody looks to, and when he opens his mouth in the clubhouse, everybody shuts up and they're like, wow, yeah, almost like God has spoken kind of thing.
But Greg, baseball, I mean, it doesn't matter if you have one great player in baseball. There are nine elements to a playoff team. There are countless guys you need to bring in and contribute in various parts of the game. And I know some people on social media and fans of this team are like, Jose's the man. Well, yeah, Jose's hit a lot of home runs. Jose's done a lot of things. This team needs seven other strong pieces to be close to a wild card.
Preach, brother. I agree with you. 100%. There's a lot. I said it. That I only listed like four to six guys that I wouldn't trade. And you know what? If I had a chance to move Jose after I looked at it again, once the name came up and the fact that the Rangers were going to be looking to probably replace Nelson Cruz, because I have a feeling if he hasn't been done already, he's going to get suspended.
Right.
It fits. And you know what else I like about the Texas Rangers situation and trading him over there? Their minor league system is full of pitchers that are being taught how to pitch deep into ball games via the Nolan Ryan kind of thought process. We don't have a situation in Texas over there. They don't have a situation where they're babying arms, where they're trying to, they're telling these guys, go out and finish what you start. So if you send a guy like Bautista to Texas, it better include a guy like Profar coming back. But I bet you there's probably somebody in their upper levels of their minor leagues that's got some innings under their belt that has some fastball command that you might want as a future part of the rotation. Maybe if it's not next year, then it's the year after that. But they've got some players that are very attractive to me. The Jays need to address their second base situation. They're probably going to need to address their bench situation, because if I'm Rajay Davis, I'm not coming back, because he's played well enough that he's going to probably garner some offers to play every day by somebody, and he's going to take it. You look at the, you know, the starting rotation. Mark Burley is making $18 million next year. $18 million. I'm not willing to accept another slow start from Mark Burley at $18 million a year. Josh Johnson has not done anything in the Blue Jay uniform to warrant a $14 million qualifying offer. It just hasn't happened. Nothing against the guy. He just hasn't pitched well. So if I'm the Blue Jays, I just missed a golden opportunity to at least get a draft pick, or not a draft pick, but get somebody of substance and value, maybe a proven, you know, fringe big leaguer, but there's pieces to be picked up. And if you've got guys on your 25-man roster that are theoretically guys that you want to keep or untouchable, there's a bunch of other guys out there that should have had value. Darren Oliver. How did Darren Oliver not get traded?
Yeah.
Tell me there's not one big league club after Scott Downs got traded that needs a veteran left-handed setup guy?
No, there's couple. There's a couple out there. The only thing that I can think of is that Oliver turned to them and said, listen, you begged me to come back, don't trade me. Because that's the last. That's the only reason why I could think that Darren Oliver would still be on this staff. Listen.
Well, if he actually said that, I would look at him right in the eye and be like, you're cuckoo, dude. You seriously? Now that the trade deadline's gone, what is there left to look forward to if you're a Blue Jays fan? What are you going to look forward to for the next month and a half, 2 months?
Well, there is the notion, Greg.
Well,
is the notion that if they have a good 2 months,
that is a strong
base for next year and a good barometer.
What you're looking for, Zani, here is maybe R.A. Dickey isn't the guy that you've seen through July. Maybe Mark Burley is more the guy that you've seen in the last two starts than the guy you saw early on in the season. Maybe there is a shred of evidence that you should keep Josh Johnson around. Because let me tell you, Zani, who the hell are you replacing these guys with if you let them go?
I don't know, but the thing that I'm saying is $32 million for two pitchers that and check the records. Burley's a great pitcher. Don't get me wrong. I love what he's doing right now. This is the Mark Burley that I've played against. But look at his numbers. He typically gets off to a slow start.
Right.
In the American League East, and I'll say it again because they tried to prove me wrong with that 11-game winning streak. If you fall 10 games behind in this division at any point, you're done. And you can't afford to have guys on your team that you're counting on to win every fifth day who have slow starts, that have a crummy first 10 starts year after year. You're going to be in the basement by the time they get their you-know-what together. And I love the veteran presence. I love Mark Burley. I love the fact, you know, I wish he could pitch every Friday night so we could, you know, we could all go out and have a nice dinner afterwards. Because it's quick. If it's bad, it's over quick. And if it's good, it's over quick. But come on, dude. These guys have so much work to do. And I'm just thinking, you know what? You've got players on this team who have talent. I still refer to them as shiny nickels. You know, why not move them around? Because the chemistry on this club, I don't care what they say about it, in the clubhouse, on the field, in the dugout, these guys might like each other and they might lead the league in cool dugout celebrations, but they don't play winning baseball. They don't play winning baseball. I mean, like, seriously, the best executed thing that they do as a baseball team is slap each other around after somebody hits a homer in the dugout.
Wow.
I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm just saying.
I'm right.
There's a lot of other things that they
bang.
It's hard to argue that after a 4-hour day where the sun is a tough sun field.
Zani, are you saying you've had enough of Jose and Reyes doing the thing
or
that
the
they
eye
do?
Thing
yeah,
the eye
yeah. thing. Yeah.
Look, I don't care what those guys can do whatever they want. You know, it's fine. But I come from an old school where you're not out on the field or being demonstrative when you're in the cellar.
Right.
You know what? Those kind of celebrations are, in my opinion, are reserved for championship caliber players and ball clubs.
Right.
You know, you have a good winning's fun. Losing sucks. I don't care. You might have one good game, and all of a sudden you're slapping each other around. You know, come on. Yeah. I'm old. I know it. I'm old and I'm cranky. But I just come from
get
a
off
generation.
My lawn.
I just come from a generation where you don't call attention to yourself when you stink.
Listen, yeah, the truth is if all these guys were playing well and winning games, no one would give a bleep what they do on the field.
But it when would you, be cute and colorful.
Right. But when you're not doing it, people can point to these things and quote Paul Brown, who once said, when you win, say little. When you lose, say less.
Yeah, and you know what? When you win 20 in the show, you can let the fungus grow back on your shower shoes and the media will think you're colorful.
Right.
Plain and simple. I just think there needs to be a lot more substance and a lot less style, to be honest with you.
All right.
Rack 'em.
Yeah.
Greg's on. Good stuff, Zonnie. Another late one tonight, but I'll be watching. Have a good broadcast. Say hi to Jamie, and thanks for this.
Good boy, yeah.
Yeah, the late games are probably why I'm cranky.
Greg Zahn. Thanks, Zahn. Appreciate it. Have we had one conversation with Zahn that was boring? And I'll allow a third party to judge on this. I don't believe we have.
The funny thing is like,